This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, Memorial Day 2023 on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it is Monday night, so the time is right for trivia. Now, if you're listening on Friday night, the time is not right for trivia. Yes, I mention that every week, but apparently not enough, because this show will replay on Friday night right here on WGN Radio, but you can't call in because it's a replay. So if you're listening on Friday, thanks, I appreciate it, but don't call. Call on Monday. Right now it is Monday, Memorial Day, and we are live. That's absolutely true. A live show for Memorial Day. It is not a replay, and your participation is urged. That's right. Urged, I tell you. 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. And we'll give you lots of reasons. We've got bumper stumpers and into every or out of every commercial break and news and things like that. And if you can identify them, you're a winner. If you know the theme, even better. And there is a theme. And while I was thinking about doing another week of Scotty requests, I figured that's going to be too easy to guess. We'll hold off on that for a moment. I got a completely different theme, don't you know? Contemporary. All right, you'll figure that out, maybe. We also have a straggler from last week, so if you don't know any of my bumper stumpers, that's quite all right. Maybe you'd like to take a guess on our straggler question. In 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. They spent $2.6 billion. General Motors was close behind. They spent $2.5 billion. Who was third? Third biggest advertiser, according to Adweek, and they spent $1.9 billion. All right. Now, Advertising Age pretty much had the same advertisers, but they had GM on top. But anyway, Procter & Gamble 1, GM 2. Who is number 3? 888-876-5593. Now, if you don't know the answer, you don't know the straggler, and you've never heard any of the bumper stumpers, although some of them are really easy tonight, I'll tell you what, I expect some winners, then you can have your own category, and sky is always the limit on that. If you know something about anything, well, you're in line, hopefully, to win, because the category is yours. I'll come up with a question, and we prove that we'll do virtually anything, since Johnny D does have his weekly hominids category. So, yeah, you probably can't top that, but there's something obscure you know something about, and we'll ask you a question about it. So, that's the deal. 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. And we're going to kick it off tonight with Barry in New Hampshire. How's it going, Barry?
Hey, Raleigh.
Yeah. So, what are we working on tonight?
Top 10 from Memorial Day 1969.
All
but
right.
For your straggler, would it be General Foods?
It is not General Foods. That's a nice guess, though. All right. So
okay.
It's not General Foods. All right. So 1969 Memorial Day. And let's see where we are on this. And yeah, Memorial Day later became the weekend that a lot of stations would run their oldies lists, world's greatest hits, and all that kind of stuff. So, but in 1969, Memorial Day, they hadn't gotten to that yet. All right. So here we are. Why did you pick this week?
Well, it's Memorial Day, and 1969, that's when I started collecting 45s. So.
Okay, then I'm ready for you. The number one song, you'll know it, Get Back.
The Beatles.
Of course. Number two, Love, and then in parentheses, Can Make You Happy.
Mercy?
Yes, absolutely right, Mercy. Yes, yes, high schoolers from Tampa Bay, you betcha. Number three, Grazing in the Grass.
Friends of Distinction?
Yes, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Number four, Oh Happy Day.
I know it's the Hawkins Singers, but I don't know the first name.
Good enough, Edwin Hawkins Singers. I'll take you. Number five, Bad Moon Rising.
CCR.
Yes, affectionately known as There's a Bathroom on the Right. Number six, In the Ghetto.
Elvis Presley.
Number seven, Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In.
Fifth Dimension.
Yeah, afraid so. Number eight, Love Theme from Romeo and Juliet.
Is it Henry Mancini?
Yes, absolutely. Number nine, These Eyes.
The Guess Who?
Yes. And number 10, Too Busy Thinking About My Baby. It was on Tamla.
Okay.
It was a big hit.
Yeah. Nope. I don't know.
Well, let me give you some audio on it because I think that you do know. I'd be very surprised if you don't. So let's, and you won either way because you only have to get 70%, of course, but, I think that you will get this fairly. Of course, then again, I don't know. You may be like some of our callers, not to be mentioned, Mark, who said that, the wimpiest white man in the history of radio. So here we go. We'll see how you do with this. This was a big hit. Did you say Temptations? I was afraid you said that. No, it's Marvin Gaye. Yeah.
Oh, Marvin Gaye, of course.
But that's all right. 90%, nothing to sneeze at. You are a winner. Thanks for calling, Barry. Hang on. We'll confirm that address. All right.
Thank you very much.
There it was, Memorial Day, 1969. I guess not listening to the soul stations. All right, well, very good. 888-876-5593. We'll put Barry on hold and successfully not drop him. And Tom in Covington will be up next. He wants music from 1955, and do I ever have a question for him? Yeah, it's not an audio, but it certainly is music 1955. So we'll talk about that. But if you want your own category, you can have it. On the other hand, if you know my bumper stumpers, ooh, the first one is a good one. I think you're going to pick it up in moments right here on WGN Radio. WFGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, Bumper Stumpers, that's easy. All right, but there is kind of a part two, because I see that Marianne called immediately and knew just instantly. And so we're going to leave her there and see how she does with part two there in a moment, because she knows them all. And I would expect that from Marianne. But trying to see if anybody who doesn't usually get any of these calling in. I'm not sure. All right. So I think it's the usual suspects. So with that in mind, Marianne was the first, so she'll get it. All right. All right, Marianne. I know you recognized her. So who is it?
I'm sorry. I got a little tickle in my throat. Dusty Springfield. Maybe that's why I got a tickle, huh?
All right, so 1964, of course, and so here...
Every Day I Have to Cry.
Yes, and who had the original hit?
Oh, gosh.
That's the question.
Oh, you got me on that one.
All right, well, that's all right. You knew it was Dusty, so that's good enough. We'll find out if Don from Beloit knows who had it originally.
And I have a real quick question.
Yeah.
With Johnny B., what is the...
Hominy,
what is that?
No, hominids are our ancestors. Hominids are early earthlings.
Okay.
You know, like the old Duvai Gorge, you know, primates, to say the least. Normally with hominids, you talk about primates. But when we talk with Johnny D., we're talking about the great apes that were the precursors to us.
Yeah, that's way out of my league, but he always gets some. I'm like, oh, my God.
I know.
Find out what this... I thought you were saying hominy, like hominy grit.
No, hominid, H-O-M-I-N-I-D, hominid.
Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, and there's, of course, still a lot of debate since none of them are around to tell us, so we do this based on fossils, and there are some arguments, but there's... a lot about evolution we know because of the wonderful hominids.
Okay, well, I'll be curious to hear what he comes up with tonight. Well, that'll be... Is that tonight he'll do that?
Oh, of course he will. You know that.
Okay.
All right. All right,
oh,
good
Johnny
deal.
B. Yep.
All right, I'll have John add to your stash, Marianne. Thank you. Hang on
okay.
a minute. I'll just
have... I don't have to hang on then, right?
I don't think so, but let me have you hang on anyway, and he can tell you. All right, so
okay.
We'll find out. But I don't think so. Now, Don and Beloit knew it was Dusty, too, so I'll ask him, who did the original Every Day I Have to Cry Some? It's somewhat of a trick question.
Is that Steve Alamino?
Steve Alamo.
Sorry. Not my generation. But,
I take it you looked it up.
I knew the Dusty Springfield, but I thought maybe, so I just kept thinking, wow, who could it be? But I looked it up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, it was written by Arthur Alexander, who released it many years later. So when I ask that, most people jump to the conclusion and think it's Arthur Alexander. But in fact, it was Steve Alamo. And Steve Alamo, who you obviously have never heard of, also produced Where the Action Is for Dick Clark Productions. And he was a Miamian and did a number of things behind the scenes. In fact, arguably, there would have been no TK Records and all that disco stuff like Casey and the Sunshine Band if it weren't for Steve Alamo.
All right. Yeah. Wow.
Well, good deal. Thanks for calling, Don. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Alamino. That's interesting. Yeah, and Steve is still with us. He's still alive. He's probably about 84 or so now. And he originally came to Miami from Rochester, and I think he was going to go to med school. He was at pre-med at University of Miami, and his brother was a little older, was in a band at the airport, and he kind of got a whiff of that and thought, this is a lot easier than studying, and did very well. Worked for Henry Stone for years and years, and from what I understand is retired on the West Coast now, Naples area, I think. All right, so 888-876-5593. Would be 8888 Raleigh, and Tom is in Covington. All right, Tom, how's it going tonight?
We're doing pretty good. How about you?
Can't complain. So 1955. Right now in 1955, there was a record that was number one. It was going to be number one for 10 weeks, and it was going to be displaced by arguably the first rock and roll record to top the Billboard charts, which at the time was known as bestsellers in stores, and that was Rock Around the Clock. So Rock Around the Clock upset the number one run of this record. It was an instrumental number one for 10 weeks, Memorial Day, certainly 1955. What was it?
I ought to know that, but I'm going to see if I can dredge it up.
You should know it.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Lisbon Antigua by Nelson Riddle.
Nope. Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White by Perez Prado.
Yeah, I should have known that.
Yes, but you should have. But there's always next week, and we will do it next week.
Okay.
All well. Right. Thanks. I appreciate the call, as always, Tom. All right.
Okay.
So good
Bye.
Deal. So yes, Cherry Pink and Apple Blossom White. Of course, Perez Prado, big deal among Latin musicians. Therefore, you know that George Goldner, who had End and G and Rama, originally Tico, for just that music, was a big, big fan and recorded a lot of his stuff. All right, so I think we're going to do movie trivia with Lisa in Dundee. How's it going, Lisa?
Oh, great. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. So you know these. You know these so well.
And if you want to shake it up, you can go into 50s or 60s, you know.
John told me to do 50s, so I figured that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
That was it.
Yeah,
so here's
right.
I've got 100 questions here, and this is one of those which of course requires me to answer them first. So
I see.
You know, one of those.
Not all 100, I hope.
Yeah, no, you just want it one at a time, and most of them are fairly easy. All right, who plays opposite Audrey Hepburn in Roman Holiday?
Gregory Peck.
All right, we have a winner. That's absolutely right. All right, Lisa, as usual.
Perfect.
Yes,
Let
yes.
Let me hold on and talk to John one quick second.
Absolutely, don't go away. All right, so we are putting Lisa on hold, hopefully, and not disconnecting her. By the way, if ever I tell you I'm putting you on hold and I suddenly hang up, this is because I'm an idiot and you call back. It's that simple. I try to get this right, but hey, some things sometimes are above me. All right, so it is time to find out what's going on in the world at large. And yes, current, not trivial. And we'll do that in the WGN Radio Newsroom on WGN Radio.
If my heart could speak, then it could tell you how I feel about you. And it's not that I don't care, but my lips won't dare say what I want them to. If my lonely heart could speak, at what it would say to you. Yes, if my heart could speak, I would have no problem. Everything I could explain.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1970, who is that? And yeah, what does that have in common with our first bumper stumper? A little early to know the theme, but you should know who this is. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you absolutely should know who this is. All right, so we have our bumper stumpers, and we have our question. Oh yeah, it's a straggler. I reveal at the end of the night if you don't get it. This is 2003, so we're talking 20 years ago right now. Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. They spent $2.6 billion a year persuading us to buy something or other. General Motors was close behind, spending $2.5 billion. Oh, those were the days, right? Who was third? The third largest advertiser of 2003, according to Adweek. As I was mentioning, Advertising Age had GM on top, and more bucks, too, $3.43 billion. P&G next at $3.32. Ah, distant third, the same. So who is this third biggest advertiser? Yeah, interesting year for them too. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, now if you don't know my bumpers and you don't like my question, no, well, you can have your own category. And sky can always be the limit. We proved that. We proved that with Johnny D, the hominid king, to say the least. Yes, king of the hominids, Johnny D in Youngstown. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, hello, Raleigh.
Yes.
Yes. You know, I got an update on my jury duty situation.
Good. Yes, are you going?
Yeah. Well, today was the first day that I had to call
and
a number.
Right, you called and they didn't want you.
No, it's not that they didn't want me. I don't know that yet. I got a call for the remainder
of the week.
Of the week.
Yes, right. But I mean, they didn't want you today.
Well, I was so scared. I left it to my higher power. I was torn. I don't want to say I had a conundrum because Marianne makes fun of me when I say that word.
All right.
But I had a conundrum because I was torn between do I want to go or not. So I asked my higher power. I said, well, I'll leave it up to you. You know, whatever you think, you know.
Yeah.
So I called, and the way it worked, they picked my color of paper. You know, they sent out different colors of papers, I guess.
Yeah.
And mine was purple.
Right.
And they said, if you're in the purple group,
yeah,
and your number is, they put a number on the left-hand corner. And I said, if your number is 1 through 14, you have to go tomorrow at 8:30,
mm-hmm,
all right, to the courthouse. Well, my number was 51. So I have to call the next, you know, till Friday, every day after 5.
Yep.
You know, so.
So
I left it to my higher power, and I guess he felt or she felt that I wasn't ready yet. So.
Yeah, so far you're lucking out on this, but I kind of hope they will call you.
I juked them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me see here. Oh, yeah. And as far as Marianne thought I was doing how many grits?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I don't even know how many grits are. I mean, I've heard of them.
Well, you're lucky that you weren't force-fed.
How many grits? I mean, I've heard of them, and I heard of collard greens, too. I like greens, but I don't even know what collard greens are. But anyhow, now on your question, on your advertising.
Yes.
General Motors first, and
yes.
Who was first?
Yes. So we have General Motors was second, and Procter & Gamble, P&G, was first.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking Procter & Gamble. Billy Cunningham calls it Procter & God. But
well, in Cincinnati, that's accurate.
Yeah. Let me see here. I was going to say, and I don't know, for some reason, I was going to say Toyota.
No.
All right. Well, then, that's my guess. All right, let's do a hominidity.
Let's do that.
Hominidity. It's in the family
Yes.
Hominidity. That's how they say it.
So we're going to talk about good old Ardipithecus cadaba. What I want to know, Ardipithecus cadaba, A, had molars larger than chimpanzees. B, had hominin-like lower premolars. C, was a subspecies of the Ardipithecus pygmygaeus. D, was similar in size to extant gorillas.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna rule D out right away.
All right.
We're nowhere near as big as a gorilla. Now, the C was what again?
The C was a subspecies of the Ardipithecus pygmaeus.
That's a made-up one. I never heard of pygmaeus, Ardipithecus pygmaeus. So I'm going to rule that out.
Okay.
Right? And then, so am I choosing A or B? What are they?
Okay.
What are they?
A is had molars larger than chimpanzees, and B had hominin-like lower premolars.
Well, I'm thinking that the one that would make more interesting was having molars similar to a hominin. So that would be B.
It's A, had molars larger than those of chimpanzees.
Get the heck out of here. Okay, now, well, apparently, doesn't make sense to me, but now, I guess it did.
While we're at it, apparently there are Pygmaeus things, including, distantly related, the orangutan.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We have pictures of, I don't know how they do that, but pictures of the Ardipithecus Pygmaeus.
And that is like an ancestor of orangutan?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what we got here. This is from the Encyclopedia Britannica, not me, of course. The Ardipithecus is the earliest known genus of the zoological family of hominae, which includes humans and excludes great apes, and the likely ancestor of the Australopithecus, though closely related and often considered ancestral to modern human beings. Ardipithecus lived, as you know, I won't bother to go into when they lived, and let's get down further here, and the chimpanzees and all that. And the orangutan, the Pygmaeus, Pongo Pygmaeus, actually, is more distantly related. Some taxonomy include the African apes in the family of Hominae, therefore demoting the ancestors of humans and their close relatives to subfamily of tribal levels of classification. By the way, I might as well be speaking Latvian.
Well, you got to concentrate when you read it. But I'll be darned. That's one I never read. Australopithecus
Pygmaeus. Pygmaeus. And like
I
say, they're calling the orangutan the Pongo Pygmaeus. So you'll have to check out how it, you know, winds up being Ardipithecus, whatever.
Some of the great apes are considered in the family. Hominidae.
You know, you just can't choose your relatives. That's what it comes down to.
Well, right. I don't know. Other than the religious thinking, the only other one is that. So,
all right.
I guess we all came from that.
All right.
I'll take Jesus every time.
There you are.
All right, Raleigh. I lost. You got me.
Thanks for calling. Talk to you soon. Okay, good. I'll look forward to it. All right. So our question, it looks like it has sparked some interest, finally, and it is about time. And that is, in 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. General Motors was the second. Who was third? All right. So we have Kurt in Mundelein. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Kurt.
Hello.
What do you think?
I get a few guesses.
Sure, you get up to six. It was six per call, and you can call as many times as you like.
How about Philip Morris?
Nope, that's one.
Pfizer?
Nope, two.
Unilever?
Three.
Johnson & Johnson?
Four.
Coca-Cola?
Five.
Ford Motor Company?
Six. Call back with another six.
All right.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, those are all good guesses, because God knows they all advertised. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. So, Procter & Gamble, number one. General Motors, number two. Who was the third biggest advertiser 20 years ago right now? Bob in Arlington Heights, what do you think?
Well, I guess my number one guess would be 1-800-77-CARS-FOR-KIDS. No.
yeah, right. And it,
how about
it? It wasn't 1-800-325-3535 either, which was Sheridan Reservations. All right, go on.
How about AT&T?
No.
No. All right, then my final guess would be Apple Computer.
No. But thanks for trying.
Sally.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Fran and Austin wants advertising, and we're going to do that. We'll do a slogan, or maybe she's going to answer a trivia question. I don't know. Well, either way, we'll have a slogan, and we'll have her answer the trivia question, and we've got room for you, too, plus another bumper stumper that you're going to know. Well, I think so anyway. We'll find out. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Everybody wants to know if everything's all I guess they thought by now we'd had a great big fight. Our love is stronger than that. Let me tell you right where it's at. My love is his and his love is mine. Ooh, we're doing gives me plenty loving to show me how much he cares. With that kind of loving, you know, I ain't going nowhere.
WGN Radio. I'm Holly James. Well, there you have another bumper stumper. Who is she? All right. What do they all have in common here? That's what I want to know. Now, in the meantime, before we get to advertising with Fran in Austin, we're talking about advertising for our trivia question. In 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. They spent $2.6 billion. General Motors was close behind. They spent $2.5. This is according to Ad Week. Who was third? And like I say, Advertising Age had GM on top with P&G in second place, both spending more money. But even so, the third place was a distant third for Advertising Age, but same advertiser. So who is this? 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. Now, let's see what we've got. Paul in Woodstock's going to take a guess. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I've got Verizon.
Not a chance.
Yeah. Okay, I got a couple other guesses.
Yeah, go for it.
Walt Disney Company.
Nope. Okay, we're looking for number three. What do you got for third?
PepsiCo.
Nope. Keep going.
McDonald's.
Nope. Keep going.
Apple.
Nope. Big Finish.
Chrysler.
Nope. Call back. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Karen in Chicago's got some guesses. What do you think, Karen?
Okay, I've got Kraft Foods.
Nope.
Alcoa.
Nope.
Johnson & Johnson.
Nope.
R.J. Reynolds.
Nope.
Procter & Gamble, you mentioned
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's, okay. That's number one, yes.
Rexall Drugs.
Nope. Big Finish.
Chevy.
Nope. Well, General Motors is number two, so that would include Chevy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Buick.
No, see, General Motors would include all of those.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm blind. What do I know?
Well, I don't. Yeah, well, General Motors made them all. All right, so call back with another half dozen.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Bye. So, and I thought that Karen was calling about a bumper stumper. Well, I guess not. Good enough. So, Anthony and Griffith, welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
All right. So I was thinking, I was going to say Empire Carpet, but I realized that was a long time ago.
Yeah, nope.
But General Electronics.
Nope.
No. I don't know. It's an advertisement company, right?
Well, it's a company that's advertising, yes.
Oh, okay. What about,
like
Pampers?
No. Now, remember, when you think about things like that, if Procter & Gamble is number one, you kind of have to figure that that includes everything that Procter & Gamble makes. They're number one.
Oh, that's right.
So then okay. General Motors is number two, so that would include all the GM cars, the Cadillacs, the Chevys, the Buicks,
right.
The Oldsmobiles, stuff like that, the Pontiacs. So this is third. So you figure that they probably have more than one thing to ask if they're to advertise, if they're advertising that much.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to call back. I hope so. What about, hold on. I'm thinking of something in, like, skincare or something. But,
oh, like Cheeseboro Ponds? It's not Cheeseboro Ponds.
No, I don't even know what that is.
Well, they're huge. So Ponds cleansing cream and all that crap, it's all part of Cheeseboro
okay,
Ponds.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll call back.
I'm counting on it. Think about it and call me back. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, because we have another 2 hours after this, and I won't reveal it till the end of the show, but I will reveal it since it's a straggler from last week. But, how times change, huh? Fran in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, I have a guess, first of all.
Okay.
General Mills?
Nope. That's a good guess, though.
Oh, I was thinking because there are so many cereal commercials and that's.
I agree.
Sort of thing, so that's.
I agree. It's a really good guess, but no. But you want an advertising slogan.
Right.
All right. All right. When they originally debuted this slogan in the 50s, they said, helps build strong bodies in 8 ways. But then by the 60s, they were saying, help build bodies in 12 ways. What's the advertiser?
Wonder Bread.
Of course it is. And, you know, I always
grew up on the stuff.
Oh, God. And you're still alive. That's a wonder. I always wonder.
Now I say Wonder Bread. It's a wonder how anyone could eat it.
Well, exactly. Well, you know, anything that, you know, vermin won't eat it. You know, little insects won't eat it. So that should tell you all you need to know. But I always I always wondered how, that's true of all white bread, by the way, how on earth could they get away with claiming this crap? Well, it turns out the government's not going to stop them because they're the ones who started it. They, during the 40s, made them add vitamins and minerals. It was a government-sponsored program to enrich white bread. Because white bread had absolutely no nutritional content whatsoever. And so they thought, well, we need to enrich it. And so they started that, and that's when they started on Howdy Doody with Buffalo Bob Smith. That's Wonder Bread. Build strong bodies in 8 ways. And that was the number of added nutrients. And so by the 1960s, it was in 12 ways. Yeah, and, you know, I say to myself, what the heck, 12 ways? What the heck? You know, they were talking about minerals and stuff like that.
I can't even figure out 8 ways.
I know. And like I say, if this was anything else, they would have been sued for misrepresentation. But instead, no. And by the way, they took Wonder Bread off the shelves in California for a while due to lack of demand. And then apparently enough people wanted it back that they brought it back 10 years ago.
Oh, I have a friend who still, I mean, she loves Wonder Bread. That's all she buys.
And she's still here to tell you. That's
amazing.
And
she's still here. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I know you could
She won't even buy another kind of white bread because she says it's not soft enough.
Right, right, and she can roll it into balls and bring it back to something resembling
dough.
Yeah,
roll it into a little ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's Wonder Bread in Pakistan, but it is not the same thing at all. Apparently Wonder Bread is planning to enter the African market through Morocco. And that, too, is not connected to the American brand. You know, I would pick another name.
I would, too.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. You know your Wonder Bread, and you're willing to admit it.
Oh, yeah, I grew up on the stuff.
Yeah, willing to admit it. That's the amazing part. All right, well, hang on. Don't go away. All right. So
all right.
It can be used to patch holes. And well, anyway, 888-876-5593. Before we go, we've only got about 30 seconds, but Kenneth is a first-time caller, and I know he will go away if we don't get to him. So, Kenneth in Illinois, welcome to WGN Radio. Kenneth.
No.
What do you think? What do you think?
Dennis.
Okay, well, John changed your name. All right, Dennis. Very good. So what do you think?
Ford Motor Company.
Very good, but not right. Think about it and call me back.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. And that's where we'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. That's what I'm.
When the birds no longer use wings to fly,
stop the loving you. And the raindrops stop falling, yeah,
that's what
from
I'm
the sky.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
When mathematicians find, yeah, 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 that 1 + 1 isn't 2. Now, don't you know that that's
true?
And don't you know
that's
true? Stop loving you.
That's what I'm
and aches and pain, yeah, yeah, yeah. And when the flowers, they no longer grow from the rain.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so that's our bumper stumper. Who is she? And of course, Belita Woods just nailed this song for Ollie McLaughlin. A few years later, it was redone by this lady, 1970 on Neptune. All right, so who is she? 888-876-5593. And what you have in common with everybody else we played tonight. So there's your bumper stumpers. Now, as far as our straggler, and we will reveal it at the end of the night tonight if you don't get it. But I think you will. In 2003, this is 20 years ago right now, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. General Motors was number two. Who was number three? 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, sure, per phone call, you can have half a dozen guesses, and you can call as many times as you like. So that's the deal. Because, you know, the prizes are not worth the postage it takes to get to you, and we don't mail them often. We were going to change our ways this year and have a real mailing schedule. But then life intervened and John had a stroke and all that. So we figure by the end of the year, we'll get another mailing together. You'll get a certificate and something else you don't want, like a tabloid or a DVD or a CD or something like that. So you get certificates for every win and something else for every win. It might be a comic book. Yeah, we just acquired 50 of those. All right, so not the same one. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So Don and Joliet has a bumper guess. All right, what'd you hear you know?
Linda Jones.
Absolutely right. Yes, that's When I'll Stop Loving You, 1970 on Neptune. Good for you, Don. All
yes,
right.
I was wondering, I just got home a little while ago, so I was wondering what the question was. I didn't hear
all
the
right.
question for tonight.
In 2003, it's a straggler from last week, by the way. In 2003, 20 years ago right now, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser, spending $2.6 billion a year, according to Adweek. General Motors was number two, spending $2.5 billion a year. Who was third? They were spending $1.9 billion. So that's the question, who was third? Now, Advertising Age put GM on top, followed by P&G, and then this third advertiser. So, who is it?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this and maybe give you a call back.
All right, but you certainly won for Linda Jones. Yes, Ms. Hypnotized herself. Hang on, don't go away. All right.
Okay.
So, absolutely right. Linda Jones. That's When I'll Stop Loving You. I know, and so many of her records sounded a lot like Hypnotized that I was, you know, to an extent this did too, of course, too, but nonetheless, I just had to play it. And you'll tell me what she has in common with the other artists we've been featuring tonight as our bumper stumper. All right, so now you know the lay of the land. By the way, if you don't like my bumper stumpers and you don't know my trivia question, you can have your own category. And we prove that routinely. Joe in Bloomingdale, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Was that advertiser, was it Bayer Corporation?
It was not, but that's a lovely guess.
Okay, yeah, that's the only one I had.
Well, if you think of something else, call me back.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Bear would have been bigger if they could still advertise the heroin, but yeah, well, that's a pesky little problem. Paul in Woodstock, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I've got a few more guesses here.
All right.
Anheuser-Busch?
Nope.
Okay. Kellogg's?
Nope.
Intel?
Nope.
Maybe go the insurance route. Allstate?
Nope.
Geico?
Nope.
State Farm?
Nope. Call me back with another six.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. And that takes us to Anthony. Oh, by the way, before we get to Anthony, let me mention, it is Monday Night Trivia, and it is Monday night. Memorial Day. It's a live show on Memorial Day. However, if you're listening on Friday night, it's a replay, so don't call. But Monday night, the world is your oyster. We do it every night from 10 to 1, every Monday night, 10 to 1. Central Time right here on WGN Radio. So enjoy the show by sitting back and listening on Friday night, but definitely call. Like I say, it is Memorial Day. I don't know how much live was on the radio today, but I certainly am. Well, at least last time I took my pulse. 888-876-5593. And Anthony and Griffith is back. So what do you think?
Holly, I'm back.
All right.
I got a couple of guesses.
Okay.
Was it Craftsman?
No. That's interesting. You know, Craftsman actually wasn't a product. It was just a house name.
Hmm.
It was owned by Sears.
Not the product, right?
Well, it was owned by Sears, but they didn't make anything. That was one of the little dirty secrets about Sears. You know, like they had Kenmore and all that. There was no such thing as Craftsman or Kenmore. They paid other people to make the products. And this was up until Stanley bought them just a few years ago, actually, Stanley Black & Decker. But they started in 27.
Yeah, they got Cobalt, too.
Right, right. Well, over the years, the amount of people who made Craftsman tool amount of companies were just amazing. There were at least half a dozen. So, but anyway, no.
Oh,
it's,
that's
it's,
interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, not Sears and not Craftsman or any of the Sears lines.
What about Hostess?
No. Oh, that's a great guess with Wonder Bread and all, but no.
Sony?
Nope. Nice guess.
Microsoft?
Nope. Nice guess.
I don't know. Panasonic?
Nope. Give me one more. Big finish.
Someone already said Kellogg, so how about Huggies?
No. Again, something like that's going to
be... Oh, that's right. You know what? We're going back to that other...
Yeah.
All
right, well,
home.
If you think of anything else, call
Nike.
Me back. Nike. That's interesting. No, call me back with another six.
All right,
thanks. All right, 888-876-5593. By the way, you know if I'm asking these questions, it's because I kind of raised my eyebrows when I saw the answer. I wouldn't have thought of this, though in retrospect, I guess I should have. All right, Derek in Jamestown, what did you hear that we played?
You played, and I am one of the music aficionados on some tips. But you played Are You Ready? Linda Jones.
Yes, I did, but somebody already guessed it.
Yeah, you know why? Because I couldn't get in because of your phone hookup. You got to have a better phone hookup.
Yeah, there's six lines. That's all you get. Six of them. All right.
Can you do? Well, I still got it right, though.
Yes, you did. But keep listening, and you'll hear one that you know, and call quickly.
So I don't get nothing for that.
Well, I'll be happy to send you something. But remember, you're doing it mostly for the fun of it. It takes about a year to get anything. You get a certificate and then something you don't want, like a CD or a DVD or a tabloid. But if you want the certificate and stuff, we'll be happy to send it to you. But nobody gets anything quickly, and their prizes are virtually worthless. You're doing it for the fun of it.
Okay.
But if you want one of our worthless prizes, we will pay the postage to get it to you.
Okay, sure.
Oh, okay, hold on. Hold on. John will take your information, and like I say, I don't think we're going to do a mailing until December.
Okay, I just got to tell you this, that I represent the blind.
Okay, well, actually, we have, I don't know if you represent, because we have a large number of blind listeners, and I am grateful for every one of them. All right. Well,
add me to your list.
Well, good. And I expect more calls from you. Hang on, and we'll confirm that address. Don't go away.
Yes. All right. Definitely. I look forward to it.
Okay. So there you go. So Derek in Jamestown, we're putting him on hold, not hanging up on him. Good. All right. I do always worry about that. But All right. So we're going to do Ocean Liner Trivia with John and Gilbert. Oh, why not? And we're going to do 60s TV with John and Covington. And Karen in Chicago's got more trivia guesses. All right, Karen, what are you guessing on?
Okay. Coca-Cola?
Nope.
Nationwide?
Nope.
I guess that's it. Because so many things are, you know, combined. You know, they're all made by the same company.
Right.
And I get confused. And I'm
right.
Okay. No, I'll think. I'll try.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll count on it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So, 888-876-5593. Marianne in Chicago, what do you think?
Raleigh, I'm back again.
All right.
Did anybody guess Johnson & Johnson?
Yes, and it's not right.
Okay. General Electric?
No.
Okay, I'll wait for the real answer.
Okay,
bye.
Think of something else. Call me back. All right, so 888-876-5593. Tom in Cedar Lake, what do you think?
Lever Brothers, now part of Unilever.
Yep, not right.
Okay.
But it's a nice guess. Thanks for trying. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so 888-876-5593. Got another bumper stumper coming up. Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. We'll see how you do. All right, and then we'll get to John's Ocean Liner and John's TV 60s trivia and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Let's make a go of the love we used to share. That love will grow and grow. If you just say you care, I know the reason why we didn't make it then. So come on, darling, let's try again. I've been so wrong. Darling, I apologize. It took me so long. But I finally realized I can't go on till I know love's around the bend. Come on, darling, let's try again. I've been a fool to ever look at someone new. A fool forever hurting you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Who's that? What does he have in common with everybody else we played tonight? 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. All right, so we're working on a trivia question, and we'll have another one if you get it. And if you don't get it, I'll reveal it at the end of the night. In 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser, spending $2.6 billion a year. General Motors was close behind at $2.5 billion. Who was third? 888-876-5593. And if you don't like my question and you don't know my bumper stumpers, oh, that last one, by the way, was on MGM in 1959, then have your own category. And we prove that all the time, as we will with John and Gilbert right now, who wants ocean liner trivia. So, okay, John, how's it going tonight?
Oh, hi, Robbie.
Yeah, so you ready?
All set.
Okay. What was the largest ship in the world until the Queen Mary was built, and then they kind of went back and forth for a while?
I would think perhaps the Normandy?
Yeah, absolutely right. It was the Normandy. And
yeah,
it went back and forth with the Queen Mary, and then the Queen Mary would, you know, after Normandy would take over, Queen Mary would raise her tonnage again, and that was it. And of course, as you probably know, she was burned out in New York while converting to a troop ship.
Okay. Actually, I think they were trying to turn her into an aircraft.
Yeah.
No, that was later on. They were converting her at the West Side Piers, and that was the end of Normandy. And, you know, people suspected it might have been sabotaged, but, never been proven.
True enough, you are a winner as usual. Hang on, we'll confirm that address.
Okay, right.
All right, so very good.
Thank you.
All right, so, yes, he knows his cruise ships. All right, so... Oh, Rock Island Rick in the Quad Cities wants to talk about Wonder Bread. I can't wait. All right, tell me all about it.
When you mentioned the fact that they took Wonder Bread off the shelves in California, what happened, actually happened at that time, Wonder Bread had a bad union. They were on strike. The bakers, part of the union, were really, they couldn't negotiate. Wonder Bread said the bad word, you, and they shut down. And but they kept the rights to the bread, you know what I mean? But they quit manufacturing, and you couldn't get bread, cupcakes, Twinkies, Wonder Bread anywhere in the U.S. And then they just waited, then they let some, I can't remember who it was, but the contractor started making it for them. And, you know, and they kept with the profits or anything, but they kept, you know, and that's how they completely got rid of the union because they couldn't come together on the baking.
Interesting. Well, you know, it started in Indianapolis in the 1920s, and then Taggart bought them. Well, actually, Taggart was the starter. Continental Baking Company.
That's Continental,
yeah. Yeah, that's probably the people who had the strike. And it was interesting because you were already starting to see companies starting to become conglomerates and like Long Marketing Wholesome and things like that. And, you know, all that. So, yeah, Continental, of course, had that deal with the government to add the vitamins and minerals thing. And I think it remained Continental until Hostess bought them. And so then, after a while, they filed for bankruptcy, and that was the deal. And so I think while they were Continental, that strike was going on. But then they left the shelves again in Southern California, not due to the strike. And that was just pretty much a local thing, you know, to the state or the southern part of the state. And it was interesting because they're saying they left because of lack of demand. Well, there turned out to be so much demand that they brought it back. And I can't imagine it myself. But then Hostess went bankrupt, and that's about a decade ago. And I think they liquidated everything. And I think Flower Foods, which had bought Tasty Cake, if you remember that, unfortunately.
Yeah, Tasty Cake.
I loved the original Tasty Cakes. They were so good. But anyway, then Flowers got it, and it's just not the same. But nonetheless, they got the name, and apparently they are the ones who returned Wonder Bread to the U.S. shelves after the bankruptcy. So I think that it is now Bimbo. And this is a Mexican baker. And I think Bimbo was going to do it for the U.S., but they may just only be doing it for Mexico. I don't know. They tried to buy Wholesome brands. I don't know what happened with that. But, yeah. So, yeah, that strike did absolutely, you're right, level them. But then they came back and went away again.
Can I go one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, is that a question? If you remember, I called before because I know it's probably because you said a lot of things you said because you remember it from Made Right.
Yes.
Did you like Made Right stamps? And I said, well, I ship you something. You said they don't last because the thing will melt before it gets there because you're out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, right?
Right.
Now, since you moved since John was sick, are you back to where civilization is? And I'll ship you.
No. That's so nice. Right. No, we're stuck. We're stuck in Arizona for medical reasons.
Oh, I thought maybe you guys went somewhere where you got a town.
I wish, but the number one place for brain injury in really all of North America is Barrow, and Barrow's in downtown Phoenix. So we are in Arizona.
Arizona. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, though. I'm with you in spirit, and thank you, thank you, thank you. All right.
I'll leave a mail for you.
Okay. So.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Yeah. 888-876-5593. We'll check out what's going on in the world at large. We'll be back to you, and I'm saying goodbye to Rocco and Rick here. Let me hang up the phone. There's a line available for you right now on WGN Radio.
Everybody wants to know if everything's all right. I guess they thought by now we'd had a great big fight. Our love is stronger than that. Let me tell you right where it's at. My love is his and his love is mine. Ooh. Gives me plenty loving to show me how much he cares.
with that kind of loving you know. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and I admit it, I've completely lost control of this show. I have no idea if I played this yet. I'm not doing an order tonight on the bumpers, and I'm saying, I think I might have played this. I don't know. Well, I don't think anybody guessed it, so I guess it gives you another chance if I did. But, yeah, 1965. 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Yeah, that's one for the records. Usually I remember what bumpers I played during the show, at least, but as proving my mind can't hold a thought hostage. All right, so we have our question, our big question, and are we going to get an answer this hour? That would be nice. In 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser, spending $2.6 billion for the year. General Motors was close behind, spending $2.5 billion. This was a distant third, spending $1.9 billion. Who was it, the third largest advertiser 20 years ago right now? And Janet is a first-time caller in Cedar Lake. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi. I unfortunately tuned in later than usual, so I don't know if people guessed this yet or not, but I'll take a crack at it. Walmart?
Not Walmart. Nice guess, though.
Okay, ExxonMobil?
Nope.
Wow. Then I don't know. I'm tapped out, but that's a great question.
Well,
I'm curious. I'll tune in, and hopefully
You will know.
Someone will guess it, and I'll be like, wow, you got a great show. I love it.
Well, it's great to have you listening, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. No limit to the amount of times you can call for trivia. You can get half a dozen guesses during each call. And, because, again, you're doing it for the fun of it. The prizes are virtually worthless. But does Stephanie and Madison heard a bumper? She knows. That's good. I don't even know what I played. All right, Stephanie.
Bumper by Clyde McFadder.
I did. That's right. I played We'll Try Again, 1959 on MGM. Yes, I did play that.
Awesome. And the song you just played, you did play earlier.
Oh, well.
I love that line about you can't hold a thought hostage. I know the feeling.
Yeah,
I do. But somebody, I think, had already answered it. But
really?
Because I was going to ask you the name of the singer, because I didn't catch the first name, but I'll leave it alone. And we'll just take a couple quick swipes at the question. Would it be Apple or Microsoft?
Neither.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a good one, and all of you, and I'll be back.
I'm counting on it.
God.
All right, thanks.
All right, sweetie.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, well, two chances at her, and nobody got her. Well, somebody will. It was actually the first thing she ever charted with. Not that she charted with anything major, but she is a major act, even though she didn't really chart with anything major. But that was the first one she charted with. All right, well, I'll try to play somebody next that I haven't played tonight, at least. I don't know. It's like that. 888-876-5593. We got Mark in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Hello, Mark. No, we lost Mark in Chicago, and he had guesses, too. Well, maybe he'll call back. We'll instead talk to Tom in Cedar Lake. All right, Tom, what do you think? Hello, operator, Tom. We lost Tom, too? I guess I'm just not speedy enough tonight. I don't know. Or I'm doing something very wrong, which is also entirely possible, but I don't think so. Not this, anyway. All right, so we're going to have to find a 60s TV trivia question for John. I haven't done my homework yet, but we will. So, and then Mark wants the original Twilight Zone. All right, so John in Covington. So, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, thank
yes, I am.
Thank God. If I heard nothing but silence, then I would really worry. All right.
That'd be three in a row. I wouldn't die.
Yeah. Then I'd realize, nope, it's at my end. Wouldn't have been good. So 60s television trivia. So where were you? Were you in Cincinnati watching television in the 60s?
Oh, absolutely. Well, greater Cincinnati, northern Kentucky, actually.
Okay. Well, then you...
Fort Mitchell, Kentucky.
Oh, sure. Just across the border there.
Home of the great Greyhound Tavern.
Well, that too, yes. And a fine Skyline Chili location or two, actually, but yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, all right. So let's see what we can come up with here. I'm trying to think of local Cincinnati stuff for you because there was great television in the 60s. Of course, when we talk about the stable at WLW, everybody remembers Ruth Lyons. But,
absolutely.
But who? What was the show that women would stand in line around the block to get tickets just to be on Kneesville?
Oh, my goodness. I used to look forward to being sick so I could stay home and watch Paul Dixon. Thank you very much.
Yes, absolutely. Paul Baby Dixon. And, I still have from, I was one of those people who stood in line. I still have the shopping bag they gave you that said, I've been visiting with Dixon. And it has his picture right on it. And I'd say literally until about 10, 15 years ago when I'd be in town, I'd carry that just to see what kind of looks I'd get from people. But
No kidding. Well, I tell you, when he died, this whole, well, it wasn't just, it was part of Indianapolis, all of them. And it was just sad.
Oh,
very,
yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah, it was, and you're right. It was originally it was on Dumont, and in the 50s, and on WLWT in 55 then, and you remember his co-host Bonnie Lou and Colleen Sharp.
Bonnie Lou. Yeah. I don't know if you know it or not, but Bonnie Lou, she sang.
Oh, yeah.
Auld Lang Syne at the last game at Crosley Field.
Oh, wow.
And only that, but she was one of the radio personalities at WNOP.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I know. I actually play a Bonnie Lou record on KJAA, believe it or not.
Is it Cincinnati Where the River Runs?
Nope. Can you think of what? Can you think of another one?
No, I can't.
Well, here, let me let you hear a little of it. It should come to mind, maybe.
Drop me a line.
Do, 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 do.
Let me know if you are still doing fine. Kind of mention if I'm on your mind. Honey, drop me a line.
I'm probably the only person who remembers that.
No, I'm sorry, I don't. But I'll tell you what, Bonnie Lou was a good-looking woman. I'd say, wow, Mom, she's really good. My mom would say, oh, she's older than I am.
Right. Yeah, but they were great. And, of course, then Colleen Sharp later went over to Bob Braun when he took
right.
over. Yeah, but
Bonnie
Lou didn't follow, but she was... She was terrific. She was with us until about 2015.
She was she would be on Saturday night. She would be on a show. His first name was Dean.
Uh-huh.
It was called the Midwestern Hayride.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And that was you,
Dean Richards, I think.
Yeah. And she was queen of the hayride.
Yeah, probably. So yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they called her Queenie. Yeah, and then of course
and the host, his wife played the. She was teeny tiny, and she's playing the bass fiddle.
Right.
Her name was Penny.
Right. Yeah, and that I think it was originally Boone County Jamboree, and then it became Midwestern Hayride.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was. And of course, Kenny Price was always on it, and
absolutely.
And it actually made national for a year, really early. It was the summer replacement for Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows.
Well, I don't remember that, but I don't doubt it. Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but yeah, Dean Richards, the Lucky Pennies was his group. I remember.
Yeah.
And he had a version of Skip a Rope that actually did better than Henson Cargill in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah,
sure.
And then, like I say, then Kenny Price, and of course he recorded The Sheriff of Boone County. But
I thought Kenny Price was really going to make it big time. I really did.
Absolutely.
And I think he had health issues, and he had a heart problems, I think, is what did him in.
And weight problems. And he was only in his mid-50s, died in Florence in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
So, He and Donna had written "Let's Truck Together," which wound up being used as Hee Haw skits. So,
Oh yeah.
Guess they made some money for that. But yeah, it was a heart attack.
You know, you were somebody brought up Nat King Cole and Ganella Hutton.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta just figure that cost her job on Petticoat Junction, don't you think?
That was later. No, I think she wouldn't have been hired if that were the problem.
Yeah.
Because Petticoat Junction, well, she was 65, so yeah. I don't know. I just think of that.
I kind of think so because they just didn't put up with a whole bunch of that, unfortunately, back then. Nobody's hurting anyone, but they didn't like it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that it was known before they cast her, because he died early in 65, and
right.
that show started in 65. So I would think that they knew, you know, that wouldn't have been a secret, you know. And of course, it was interesting. Poor poor network. Firstly, they didn't want to be the Hillbilly Network, but it certainly did turn out that way.
Yes, it did.
Much to their chagrin. So there was always infighting on that. And you know, the other thing was that they really, their biggest worry back then was what Bob Crane might do, because they did not know about his predilections when they hired him for Hogan's Heroes.
And, oh my, yo.
Yeah.
I thought that was on ABC, I thought.
I think that was...
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
because
right. You are right.
Remember, he was the morning host on KNX in Los Angeles. He was an MOR morning man when they...
I did not know.
Oh, yeah, he was good, too. He had a drum set in the studio and always played drums. He came, I think, from Connecticut. And anyway, but I always liked him. And
Bob Crane, in the late episodes of the Donna Reed Show, I believe he played a doctor, associate doctor that lived next door or something.
Okay.
On the Donna Reed Show.
I'm sure I wouldn't doubt it, because most of those guys were, you know, looking for bit parts and all that kind of stuff. And he wound up being the starring role, and then they found out about him. And they held collective breaths.
They still think there was Hanky Panky. He was murdered.
He absolutely was murdered. He was murdered in Scottsdale. No doubt he was murdered. And I've always gone with the cameraman as far as that goes, his friend, the photographer. But I don't know. But yeah, he was at that point pretty down on his luck. He was doing a lot of dinner theater stuff, and that's why he was in Scottsdale. And he was doing like walk-ons on Quincy or the Love Boat or wherever he could get the work, obviously.
Right.
And you know, I thought he was great, but you know, again, CBS was always worried about damage control of that. But yeah, he was like on a Dick Van Dyke episode, and you know, this is while he was doing that. He was on a Twilight Zone episode. So he wasn't even credited on that. He was playing a disc jockey. And yes, Dave Kelsey, the doctor, was on Donna Reed. He was in a lot of those episodes. He did one on the Lucy Show and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, Hogan's Heroes hits. That's like, you know, almost 170 episodes. And they held their collective breath like you wouldn't believe. And I always thought that was hilarious. But
they always made the Germans out to be so stupid, you know.
Oh, well, that was the deal. Werner Klemperer, who was a Jewish actor from Germany, would not take the role unless they portrayed the Nazis as idiots.
Well, I'll tell you, that same actor in 1961, the Werner guy.
Yeah, Werner.
I watched a movie of him where he played, a World War II exterminator guy. What the heck is his name? Yeah, it was a real guy. It was a real biography.
Yeah.
Werner Klemperer. Yeah, check out 1961 Werner Klemperer, and you'll find that movie. I can't think of the name of it, but yeah, it was a, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he was in a lot of things, including How to Marry a Millionaire.
Yeah.
So he was... He was in several things. But, yeah, he absolutely said the condition had to be the Nazi, that Klemperer in his role could never succeed. He always had to be foiled by the Americans. And it was funny. His own father actually praised it, which was one of his worries. He thought, oh, God. But that was the deal. So, yeah, I liked him. And he was good. Did some musical comedy stuff on Broadway and stuff too. So
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, he was good, and died of cancer in New York. So I think he was about 80. So yeah, he had a good life. But anyway, yes. Anyway, I digress. But yes, so that's the deal with Ganilla. And John says, "Shut up and go away." All right, I'm shutting up and going away now. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Did we do our trivia question? I don't even know if we did that. All right, well, John, if we didn't do a trivia question, call us back on WGN Radio.
Go away, go away, gone. Go away, go away, gone.
Mr. Auctioneer, those are my things you're selling today. And just like the love they remind me of, we're going
gone.
I still see her face when I gave her that ring you're selling now.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Sorry. I'll have to listen back to the show to find out what I played and what I didn't, but I know I hadn't played this one yet. What does it have in common with everybody else we played? We might have played multiple times. And I think we had a winner, somebody guessing Linda Jones, but I don't think it was the Linda Jones record they were guessing on. So I'm not, oh God, it's like that. So we'll see. We'll see what next hour brings. I am hoping that we'll have a winner for our trivia question, because clearly I can't hold it together much longer. 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser, spending $2.6 billion. General Motors was a close second, spending $2.5 billion. Who was third? All right, so maybe you know my bumpers. Maybe you know my trivia question. Maybe you want your own category. It's all up for grabs. Why not? But as far as who was the third biggest advertiser, well, Bruce in Elwood wants to take a guess. What do you think, Bruce?
Hi, Rod. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I think I'm doing pretty good. I think it might have been the U.S. government.
Oh, that's nice. It's not.
Oh, okay. How about Boeing Aircraft?
No.
Okay, that's it for me.
All right, well, if you think of something else, call me back. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so, yeah, Boeing usually didn't advertise directly to the public. But why not, I guess? Janet in Cedar Lake, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi. Just calling back because I'm just overly competitive, and
good.
I love your show, and I had a bunch of caffeine.
All right, anyways, I'm ready.
All right, let's try, how about Walt Disney Company?
Nope.
Verizon?
Nope.
Wow. Then I'm back to square none, then, I guess. So, okay, I'll be listening.
Okay. If you think of something else, call me again. That's fine, Janet.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. And we got Barb in Lake Bluff, Illinois. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
All right. How about yourself, Barb?
Good. So I have some guesses on the trivia.
Yes.
The first one is Bridgestone Tires.
No. What's the second one?
Discover Cars.
No. What's the third?
Seattle Sutton.
No. What's fourth?
Nutrisystems.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No. What's fifth?
Domino's.
No. What's sixth?
Weight Watchers.
Call me back if you think of six more.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. Nutrisystems always used to have a deal where they would work out a radio schedule, and usually it was the morning man who would do the endorsements talking about how much weight he lost. And then there was a study, a perceptual study on what listeners thought, and it was hilarious because listeners almost universally thought that morning men were fat. So 888-876-5593, Derek in Jamestown, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. So what did you hear?
Yeah, so now, so I have a couple of questions, but I have a question. Is it okay to ask you a trivia question?
I won't know it, probably. The only reason I'm so bright is I have the answers in front of me.
Oh, well, I'll put it out there, and whoever can call in, they'll probably get a prize on me.
All right, what
but,
is it?
Who made the song Monkey Time?
Oh, Major Lance on OK.
Oh, wow, that was an easy one for you.
What's the hip?
And I have a few questions. The other one is, what's the name of the whisperer that went to jail when they was getting ready to get a big deal, record deal? It was one of them that...
Leavell was who it was. Oh, this is a great story. I tell it so often because it's probably the worst timing story in the history of R&B music, and that is the Whispers, who were my favorite group when they were on Dory. And John is saying you're going to have to break for news here in a second, but then I'll pick it up. But, you know, when they were on Dory and when they were on Soul Clock and even when they were on Janis, I adored the Whispers. They were like my favorite group. Anyhow, they had never had a hit record. I mean, they had such great things like I Was Born When You Kissed Me and all that, and nothing. Mm-hmm. So, all right, here come the Whispers, and John is saying shut up. All right, so hang on. Don't go away, and I'll tell you all about this. Yeah, Leavell Degree. But anyway, okay. Pick it right up there on WGN Radio.
Yeah, that sounds kind of good.
You know you act like you feel it.
You ought to see what I do when I do this part.
Go ahead.
La 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 la.
I like that.
Dig this.
Okay.
Feel like a new man with the whole world in my hand. Stop doing what I used to do. Spend all my time loving you. Oh, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. This is the final hour of Monday Night Trivia, Memorial Day edition. So Monday, actually now Tuesday morning, and that would be the 30th of May. But Monday, Memorial Day live, so another hour of live, 888-876-5593. All the lines are busy right now, but when one is available for you, do call. I emphasize this because if you're listening on Friday night, it's a replay, and I'm glad to have you, but please don't call. Mark your calendar for Monday. We do it live every Monday from 10 to 1 Central here on WGN Radio. All right, now, that's your bumper stumper. Who are they? It's kind of easy. And what they have in common with everybody else we played tonight, and I lost track of who that was, so I'll before I write them down on the on Raleigh.net, where I give you the repository every night, I'll listen back to the show to find out what I played, since clearly I don't know. All right, we're talking with Derek in Jamestown. Now, Derek, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so here is the deal. Like I said, the Whispers were on Dory, which was, like, they were my favorite group. You know, As I Sit Here, I Was Born When You Kissed Me, all this, no hits. And then they went to Soul Clock and Remember Me and all that, no hits. And, I mean, The Time Will Come kind of charted. But anyway, they go through this, and they wind up on Janis, and they're in Janis through, and then they're on Soul Train and Solar and all that kind of stuff. Still, no hits. All right. So here we are. And they had some records out, but no real hits. Here we are, and we are now at the end of 1979. And for the first time in the Whispers' entire career, and only one of two times that it happened, they wind up with a number one record. And that was, and the beat goes on, big record on Solar. Mm-hmm. Well, if they hadn't had that hit at that time, when the news broke that some guy named Lavelle Degree was involved in a mail heist, nobody would have ever known about it, you see. But because the record was on its way to be number one, the news media in Los Angeles had a field day with this. And what had happened was Degree actually was not an original Whisper. I don't know if you're aware of that. He didn't join the Whispers until after the Dory period. He didn't join until Gordy Harmon was injured, and they had to have a replacement. And that's when they got him. And Lavelle Degree had been in the Friends of Distinction. All right, so...
Oh.
So in 73 he joins them, and you know they're all right. By the way, the Whispers formed in 63 in Watts, and mostly it was these twins. They were identical twins, Scotty Wallace, Scotty and Walter Scott were the two, the real genesis. Also Nick Caldwell, who was real huge. You can't talk the Whispers without talking Nick Caldwell, and then Gordy Harmon and Marcus Hudson, and that was the original group. And anyhow, here they are after Dory, and now here, unfortunately, we had a situation where Gordy couldn't sing anymore. Here comes Lavelle. So now it's a big hit. And what had happened was, and by the way, everybody who knows this guy likes him. So he doesn't like to talk about it because it was just a bad judgment call, a bad moment in time. He got involved along with four other people. I think one of them worked for the post office, and they basically robbed a mail truck of jewels. And so in the end, some of these people got multi-year sentences, but Lavelle Degree got 4 months, which he served. And he's a convicted felon. Again, by everybody who knows him, said this is so out of character. And I mean, he spent the rest of his life making up for this. So you shouldn't cast aspersions at him. And the only reason I delight in telling this story is not for his misfortune, but it's for how can you be unknown as a group from 1963, you know, through the 70s, and then the first time you get fame, this is what's on the news. Timing is everything. So that was their story, and of course, And the Beat Goes On was a gold record, and the album was both gold and platinum. It did very, very well for him, and he's still in the group, Lavelle Degree, and so that's the deal. And, you know, sadly, Gordy Harmon did die, actually, at the beginning of this year. It was interesting that he lived that long. And then Marcus Hudson had died, I think, in 2000. And Nick Caldwell, who was really a big part of the Whispers, died, I think about 5 years ago now. So that's the Whispers. And, man, there's stuff on Dory. If you've never heard it, man, go get I Was Born When You Kissed Me. It's just divine.
Yeah. Do you think you can... when we finish up at the end, my telephone number and text me a list of those Dory songs?
No, I won't do that, but here's what I'll do, because I don't text. I don't even have a cell phone.
In the office, email me? Email it?
I can email it to you if you send me an email. Just send it to Raleigh@Raleigh.net. Now, the trick is spelling Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E. @Raleigh.ye.
Cool.
Yeah, @Raleigh.net. And sure.
Raleigh James.
Yeah, and the Whispers are just terrific. And tomorrow night I'll play you some of that stuff.
Yeah, now hold on. Yeah, so I think it was ironic that the song in 1979, As the Beat Goes On, I was doing my disco thing. I'm from New York City, the Bronx, and all that good stuff, and I came up to Western New York. But yeah, it's kind of ironic that... Your misfortune would highlight everything, and the song is saying, "Well, don't think about it, don't get down."
Exactly, and the beat goes on. Yeah, exactly. And then they follow.
So now, the company question.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with John Deere or Chrysler.
Nice guesses, but not right.
Oh, shit. Excuse my
friend. All right. Well,
So now the next thing is that female that you played after Linda Jones. It sounds like Mary Wells or Freda Payne.
It is neither.
Okay, now the one that you were just playing now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Sam and Dave.
And absolutely, we have a winner. You betcha. Born Again. Yes. All right.
Beautiful. Thank
now,
you.
It's interesting because when I played That's When I Stopped Loving You, I think that's the one somebody thought was Linda Jones, and actually that's Ruby Andrews. But I do have a Linda Jones record, but I'm pretty sure I didn't play it tonight. I don't know. I've got it on the list, so maybe I'll play it next. And, of course, it won't be a bumper stumper because I'm identifying it. But For Your Precious Love, that version by Linda Jones. Did I play that earlier? I don't think so. Anyway, you're a winner. Hang on. Don't go away. All right, so
yes, I should
be more attentive to my own show. But the truth of the matter was that I did some show prep, actually, and didn't eat dinner. So during the show, I managed to wolf down some food. And I think at that point, I lost complete control of what I might have been doing. And apologies for that, that's for sure. So we've got a question. I think we're going to get a winner this hour. And so Marianne in Kansas, don't go away, whatever you do. Stay right where you are, because I think she's going to nail it. But it's hard to say what you will say first. We're going to find out. All right. And then we're going to do a 40s movie trivia with Leah and Marcus Hook. All right. And then Twilight Zone original TV series with Mark and Aurora. And Don and Joliet has another bumper guess. And Kathy in Linton, Indiana is going to guess on our question. 2003. The biggest advertiser in America was Procter & Gamble. Number two was General Motors. Who was number three? 888-876-5593. So, Kathy in Linton, welcome to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Hi, good evening, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, I wanted to guess Walt Disney Corporation.
Nice, but not right.
Not right. And I was thrilled to hear you talking about Hostess and Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Because For a decade, back in the 80s and 90s, I worked for Continental Baking Company. Actually, before that,
oh, wow.
They were owned by Ralston Purina.
Oh, wow.
I began with them at Ralston Purina, and then CBC bought them out. And after a decade, I left the company just before everybody went union. And I cashed in my stock. And then they went bankrupt, so...
Perfect time to... You lucked out. That's the way to
timing.
Do it.
So, oh, yeah.
So I got to ask you, are you telling me that at one point Wonder Bread was owned by Ralston Purina?
Absolutely. Wonder Bread and Hostess Cake were owned by Ralston Purina. We had the Ralston Purina logo on our packaging and whatnot, but there was a Wonder Bread bakery in Hodgkins, Illinois, and our Hostess Cake Bakery was in Schiller Park near the airport.
Wow.
And
so
Ralston Purina sold to CBC, Continental Baking Company. And the rest is history that you told half an hour ago.
Yeah, but that's fascinating. You know, I assume they didn't make it in any of the plants that made dog food, but you know, it somehow makes sense. But
well, you know, at that time, they also owned Ever Ready Battery.
Well, yeah, but you can't eat those. At least you better not.
Exactly.
But, you know, I hate to say this, but I have a feeling the dog food might have been more nutritious than the Wonder Bread.
You could be right. The greatest thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Raleigh, I have a question for you regarding... the song you guys have been discussing, And the Beat Goes On,
yeah.
Is that the same version of the song that Sonny and Cher did?
That's The Beat Goes On.
The Beat Goes On.
No.
Right. Thank you for clearing that
up. Oh, yeah.
Let me
play a little of the whispers for you, because when you hear it, I think you'll recognize it. Because the thing was number one, for God's sake, so it wasn't an unknown record, but... here it is, I think. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the beat goes on.
Very different, yeah. That's a good song.
Yeah. So there you have it. All right, good deal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And what does Don in Joliet have to say for his bad self? So hello, Don.
Hello, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right, what do you think?
Hey. I got a few questions. I guess the one, did somebody get the bumper stumper before this one?
The Sam and Dave?
No, Brooke Benton.
Oh, no. Okay, Brooke Benton. Good for you. Absolutely. Going, going, gone.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. 1963. You betcha. On Mercury.
All right. I got another, okay, and I wanted to guess in the trivia. McDonald's Corporation?
Nope.
IBM?
Nope.
AT&T?
Nope.
Okay, that's all I have there. And all then right. One other thing.
Yeah.
Remember Silver Cup bread?
Remember what?
The bread that we were talking about, the bread. Oh, the bread. Remember Silver Cup?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, my uncle used to love their bread. That's the only bread he used to get.
Yes, yes. That was Gordon Baking. You betcha. That was a 19 earlier, and that was out of New York. Yes, I absolutely do remember it. And I think that was a Teamster strike that leveled them ultimately.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, right. That's so funny. I hadn't thought of them in years.
I know. I thought of it when you said Wonder Bread. I'm like, I got to tell her that one. So
yeah. Who knows what was in that? I have no idea.
Right.
Well, good deal. Well, hang on. We'll confirm that address. Don't go away. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. I believe I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's time to break again, and I'll do that on WGN Radio.
I knew it was love from the start, but my love clouded eyes couldn't see when I gave you my heart. My pain to show for the love that we made. I need to know. I need the way you hold me. I need to know. Show me what love could be. I need to know. And now that you've gone to stay, I've lost the feeling inside of wrapped in
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's Philly all the way. Crimson Records. Yeah, 1966. That's Jerry Blavitt special. All right, so who is that? Yeah, and why is that on the list with something in common with everything else we played tonight? 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And let's see, we're going to do... going to do Twilight Zone original TV series trivia with Mark and Aurora. I've already got that one picked out. We're going to do charts. Brian and Joliet wants May of 1965. Leah wants 1940s movie trivia. I can do that. And, is Derek back with another bumper guess? Well, let's find out. All right, Derek. So what else did you hear?
At first, I thought I heard, and tell me, is Eddie Kendricks in this group?
No, but somebody else famous is.
David Ruffin.
Nope.
Was anybody from the Temptations in
this
group?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and
it's a group, right?
Well, it's a group, yes, but it's the one member of the group who went on to great fame.
As a solo artist?
Well, or a duo.
Did he have a female with him?
No.
As a duo, so
uh-huh.
You say the duo.
Yeah.
Him and who else?
Well, we're not going to tell you that.
Oh no. Okay. Okay. I'm going to Smokey Robinson.
Nope.
Wow.
You are so far off, but keep listening. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Well, by the end of the night, I'll reveal them all, even the ones that I thought I played that I didn't and the ones that I played twice that I thought I only... Yeah, whatever. All right, but right now, we'll just stop it and go back to something credible like, you know, the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it's another bumper stumper. And what does it have in common with all our other bumper stumpers? And who is it? All right. So after the show, I will listen back to the entire show and make an accurate list of what we played. And I'll put it on Raleigh.net. But I certainly know what that was that I have just played. And if you know it too, well, all you have to do is get a line available for you. And see, that's the hard part. Okay. Unfortunately. So let's see what we're doing. I think we're going to get a winner. I just know it in my bones. And let's see. 2003, Procter & Gamble was the biggest U.S. advertiser. That's 20 years ago right now. They spent $2.6 billion, according to Adweek. General Motors was close behind at $2.5 billion. And I want to know who was third, $1.9 billion, by the way. All right. So what do you think? So Laura is in Willowbrook. Okay, Laura, what do you think?
Hey, Raleigh, I just have a feeling about this, but I'll give you my second guess first.
Okay.
First one, Anheuser-Busch.
No.
No. Okay, well then, my first choice for sure is going to be it. It's got to be Philip Morris, right?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Oh, it's not for sure.
Uh-huh, not even close. All right, thanks
for
trying.
Well, I can't wait to hear.
All right. Bye. So, I see that Brian, Mark, and Leah do not want to answer the question. They have other things on their mind, which I will fulfill. So, Marianne in Kansas. All right, I think she's going to put us out of our misery. So, Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, lovely.
So, what did you hear that you know here? Who is this?
Time Warner.
Absolutely. Why do you know that?
Well, I was just trying to think of a really large... like media-type conglomerate, and that's the biggest one I could think of. So.
Well, you're absolutely right. Now, do you know why?
Because of all the cable that they had, I'd be guessing.
No, it's because of what a tumultuous year it was for them. They were a mess. They had been branded by AOL since that purchase in 2001. But by October 2003, they completely dropped the name because it wasn't working out. In fact, they changed the New York stock ticker from TWX. It had been, well, to TWX, it had been AOL. Now, in addition to AOL in 2003, they also owned Warner Studios, Time Inc., the magazine. You remember a lot of Time commercials back then, Dick and Bert and all that wonderful stuff. Time Warner Cable, like you say, Turner Broadcasting, CNN, and Money. So, all together... But it was just a startling year for them, and they spent a fortune promoting themselves. So you are a winner.
Okay, great. Hey, and one thing about talking about all the hostess business, the Breakfast of Champions in my college years, ding-dongs.
Yeah. Oh, God. You see, and you're still alive to talk about it. Just amazing.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. Yeah. I'm an old person, too. So.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Hang on. Don't go away. All right. We'll confirm that address. We have a winner. It was TWC Time Warner and, cable and others. And like I say, AOL was a big part of it and how to brand and how to not brand and all that. And it's like, we're not AOL anymore, but except we still own them. But yeah, all that. All right. So there is your question. Marianne was absolutely right. So Procter & Gamble, according to Ed Week, spent $2.6 billion to convince us to buy one of their products in 2003, and General Motors spent $2.5 billion trying to get us to buy a GM car, and then Time Warner spent $1.9 billion, I think, trying to forget they were AOL, and that's Ad Week. Now, Advertising Age reversed GM and Procter & Gamble, having GM on top. They said they spent $343 billion with P&G at $332, and then a distant third was Time Warner. So that is the deal. I know how soon we forget. And now, of course, oh my God, Time Warner Cable, it's Spectrum. Don't start me. I'm going to get a rash. All right. So here we got another question here while I pant like a St. Bernard in heat. All right. 40,000 Russians die of this every year. In the United States, a country with double the population, only 300 people die of it annually. Die of what? 40,000 Russians versus 300 Americans. Yeah, what's the cause of death? 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. All right, so let's get to it. We're going to get to Mark in Aurora with his Twilight Zone episode. All right, Mark, how's it going tonight?
Oh, pretty well. I had a good Memorial Day, and I wanted to refresh my memory. What was the name of the narrator last week?
Oh, God, yes.
The one that brought...
Right. I'm trying to think now. Yeah, he was famous, too. The one that Serling wanted and couldn't get.
Yeah.
Oh, God, why can't I think of this? Well, I don't even remember what bumpers I'm playing tonight. Why should I think of it? But you know, I mean, let's face it. But it'll come back to me. I promise.
Okay.
So God, that's terrible. Why can't I think of this? No, this'll drive me crazy. Just drive me crazy. All right, well, I'll let it drive me crazy on my own time. So now we're going to do other Twilight Zone questions.
Yeah.
In fact, there was one episode. Oh, it aired all right. But the minute it aired in 1964, all hell broke loose. And it didn't air again until 2016. What's the episode?
Oh.
And for extra credit, what unknown actor had a leading role? Unknown at the time. Obviously, he was known after that.
I don't know either one.
Really? Oh, man. Well, if you don't know this, this is something you got to go back and read the whole history of this, because this was a disaster. All right. And here, you know, there was another episode that was banned for a while because there were, you know, copyright issues with who wrote it or whatever, that kind of thing. You know, that'll always happen. This was not that. All right. It was called The Encounter. And The Encounter is about an American veteran of World War II who finds a Japanese katana knife in his attic. And it was later revealed that he took it from the original owner, who he killed after the man had surrendered to him. And it had a, you know, transcription and all that, that the sword will avenge me. And so, of course, in typical Twilight Zone fashion, the weapon keeps finding his way back to him no matter how many times he tries to get rid of it.
Well, I think this is one of the few episodes I haven't seen.
Well, yeah, because you couldn't have seen it between 64 and 2016. So anyway... A Japanese-American man, the name of the character was Arthur Takamori, was employed by him as a gardener. And now there's tension between the two that are escalating. And so the former U.S. vet is increasingly becoming anti-Asian in his dialogue. And meanwhile, that wasn't the problem. That was bad enough. No, it's that the writers clearly didn't know what they were talking about, because they Takamori, that character, he talks about how his father and a Japanese American wound up betraying America at Pearl Harbor. And so, you know, it was sort of like tit for tat and all that. And then the episode goes into, it culminates, and basically the soldier from America, you know, falls on the sword, and the other guy jumps out the window yelling bonsai. But the problem is that the Takamori's background is not only pure fiction, but it was confirming what some people who were misinformed believed, that there were Japanese-American traitors at Pearl Harbor, anywhere else. And, of course, we had a horrible point in history where we, you know, put Japanese-Americans into internment camps, for God's sakes, solely because of their ancestry. So here is this episode that is basically cementing the lie. And, man. But the actor who nobody knew was George Takei. Star Trek actor. But you can probably read about this, because this was a disaster. Obviously, the Japanese-American community was up in arms, as well they should have been. And meanwhile, of course, you know, this is May 64. What's going on? Gee, we got another war in Asia again. You know, Vietnam, of course, heating up. And so it was a disaster. This was pulled and was not allowed to be seen until 2016, when it got added into a rotation of all the episodes.
So the next New Year's Eve, maybe it'll air.
Well, yeah, if they have one of those episodes, yeah, because they've been airing it for the last 5 years in those episodes of all of them.
Well, I didn't get it right, but I learned something.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? And
yes, it is.
What's, of course, interesting is the Twilight Zone, for better or worse, had been branded as synonymous with progressive politics. And this episode was...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, and you can decide how you feel about that, who cares. But the bottom line is, this episode wound up just absolutely slaying all the things that Serling was trying to do. But
the only reason he got it on TV was that it was billed as science fiction.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely.
Or fantasy.
But he clearly wasn't, you know, no way was he, you know, somebody who was prejudiced on that level and wanting to make those points. You know, he just didn't want to make those. Those thoughts. I'm trying to think now. This is driving me crazy, because, you know, some people were suggesting Orson Welles, and that's the name keeps coming to mind, but that's not the guy. I know it's not the guy, but no. It was someone else, and why can't I think of it? Oh, God. All right. Of course, it'll come to me in the middle of the night, and I'll wake up screaming, so thanks for that. Yeah. All right.
All right.
So thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So that's the deal there with Twilight Zone. But yeah, you really got to wonder, how could you make that much of a misstep? Yeah, especially at that point in time. I don't have that answer. There's probably something online written to explain the whole thing, but I can't think of it. So all right, 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. Brian and Joliet, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh, that last bumper stumper, was that Tammy Terrell?
No.
No? Okay.
It was.
Well, I'd like to... Pardon?
I was going to say, you know, now I don't even remember what... I know who... I had to look, because I thought, Tammy Terrell, how could you... Now I see why. No, it is absolutely not.
Okay. Well, then may I try chart topper May 30th, 1965?
Yes, if I find the 1965 book. Here we go. Okay. Yes. All right. Let's see. 1965, May 30th. So Memorial Day 1965, basically. Correct?
Fine.
Yes. That, of 65. Yeah, 1965, Memorial Day. Okay. Here we go. Number one, Help Me Rhonda.
Beach Boys.
Number two, Ticket to Ride.
Beatles.
Number three, Back in My Arms Again.
Supremes?
Yeah. Number four, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
Herman's Hermits.
Number five, Woolly Bully.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Yep. Number six, Crying in the Chapel. Obviously, it's not the Orioles, so you know it's a remake.
Crying in the Chapel.
Yeah, it's a horrible record. You should know this. It's one you would know.
Shirelles?
Elvis Presley.
Oh. Yeah, I wouldn't want to put that on the Shirelles.
Well, right,
they
yeah.
were really good.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that of course, became a huge record. Got to number three nationally. All right. Number seven. It goes downhill. Count Me In.
Oh, Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Number eight, I'll Never Find Another You.
Spanky and Our Gang?
The Seekers.
Oh, okay.
All right. Number nine. I love this record, so I hope you know it too. Just a Little. They were from the San Francisco Bay Area. Although some people...
Bo Brummels?
Yes, absolutely right. Right, absolutely right. Very good.
I like that one a lot too.
Yeah. Number 10. It's Not Unusual.
Tom Jones.
Yes, a truly wonderful song. All right, you did very well.
Well, thank you so much, Raleigh.
All right, well, hang on. We'll confirm that address. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Take care.
So Brian and Joliet will put him on hold and confirm that address. And we're going to get to Leah and Marcus Hook for 1940s movie trivia. Well, all right. And Valerie in Warrensville and Marianne in Chicago is taking a guess, and I'll do the final bumper that maybe I played and maybe I haven't, who knows, coming up on WGN Radio.
Into each life a little rain must fall, and you know every day cannot be Sunday, every smile is not a smile of happiness, and every tear that is shed is not a tear of joy. I'd like to dedicate this song to all of you lovers out there, because maybe you have a loved one that's far, far away. Maybe he's across the street, or maybe she's just in another town. You know, I can imagine when you're all alone in the wee hours of the night, why don't you get yourself a piece of paper and a pencil and sit down, and Lord have mercy, decide to write. Knowing all the time that this letter that you write may not be a comfort to your loved one heart. But let me tell you something you can say. You can say, darling, for your precious love, I give you the world on a silver platter. But y'all know as well as I that you'd be telling a great big lie. And you don't want to do that to your loved one, neither would I. But you can say, darling, for your precious love, I climb the highest mountain. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, you could even go out as far as telling him or her that you try to swim the deepest sea. But I think if you all would sit back, relax, put your mind at rest and listen to me, I think I can give you a better understanding of what I'm trying to say.
Right, so like I say, I don't know if I played it or not, but I meant to. In any event, that's the final bumper, and a good thing that the show is almost going to end, I can tell you. All right, so what are we going to work on here? Valerie in Warrenville, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Good evening, Professor. How are you tonight?
Obviously, I no longer am capable of even answering the question.
Okay, so, the trivia question deals with Russia and a disease. I'm thinking smallpox?
No.
Measles?
No.
Rubella?
No.
Chickenpox?
No.
Well, I'll try next week.
I'm counting on it. Thanks. I appreciate it. All right.
Good night. You be safe and happy.
Yes. All right, so 888-876-5593. And Leah wants 1940s movie trivia. All right, Leah, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Great show tonight, Raleigh.
I don't know. I don't think I'm here.
Well, you sound great.
Well, that's good to know. I never before have I completely lost track of what bumpers I might have played.
Well, can I guess on the trivia question first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it influenza?
It is not.
Okay. I'm just going to take movies from the 40s, like between 40 and 45 or 46.
Okay. What was the first military-oriented film that Bud Abbott and Lou Costello starred in? It was 1941, Universal Studios.
Abbott and Costello joined the Army?
Good try. It was called Buck Privates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The film, by the way, was nominated for an Academy Award because of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
Oh, yeah, good song.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the Anders Sisters. Yes.
The Anders Sisters, yep. Yeah. My mom used to have their album. I used to play it all the time.
So that was the movie, Buck Privates, now you know.
Buck Privates, now I know. Thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We've got, let's see, Derek's got another bumper guess. All right, Derek, what do you think?
Now, I'm supposed to be commenting on the Russian disease, right?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I got a few. Can I do a few?
Yeah.
For the first, the Russian disease is food poisoning or water poisoning?
Nope. What else you got?
For the bumper, I want to say it's Shirley Murdoch.
No, it's Linda Jones.
That was Linda Jones?
Yes, yes, for your precious love was Linda Jones.
Wow, now it's Linda when she shows up. I don't recognize her.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to say that for my trivia, I would like 1970s black exploitation movies.
Oh, black exploitation, you betcha. The only problem is we've just ended the show, so let's do that next Monday. We're out of time. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Derek. All right. So,
yes, I know you do. Thank you.
With that in mind, we will. I will get the bumpers together and all that, and put it all on Raleigh.net before the night is over. It's going to be a long one, I can tell already. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. I apologize to Marianne and to Valerie for not getting to your calls. Marianne, call me back next week. All right, we'll let that be a straggler, but I think it'll go in short order. I guess we'll find out. So until then, like I say, it's a wrap. We thank Adam. We thank John for screening your calls, but above all, especially on Monday Night Trivia, I thank you for calling. Cannot do it without you. 21 hours from now, we'll do it all again right here on WGN Radio.